First of all, I want to remind you that Thursday of this week is Thanksgiving. We will have Mass at 9 a.m. We also invite you to bring staple food items, which will be distributed from the McKinley. Also, of course, Thanksgiving Day is the most appropriate day for us to celebrate the Eucharist, which is, in fact, a celebration of Thanksgiving. Also, any children want to be in the Christmas pageant, please come on Saturday at noon. We only had four people there last week, so we need people. A fellow went to the doctor's office. He had a sore throat, and the doctor's office was in the doctor's home. And when he went in, the receptionist said, "Go into that room, take all your clothes off, and wait." He said, "I just have a sore throat. Take your clothes off and wait." So he goes into the room and takes his clothes off. And there's another fellow sitting there, again, in the altogether. And he says, "Isn't it ridiculous? I have to take off all my clothes just for a sore throat?" The other fellow says, "You're lucky. I just came here to tune the piano." As the receptionist didn't recognize what the people were there for, so people in Jesus' day and people even today do not recognize Jesus as who he is, the King of the universe, God and man. In the first reading, people come to David and ask him to be the king. David has already been king in Judah, but now the tribes, the northern part of the kingdom, they come and want him to be their king because they see that his reign is prosperous, things are going well, and they want to be part of that reality. And they also understand that it's part of God's plan. It's part of the design of God to have one king for the people, to lead them to greater fidelity to their covenant relationship between God and the people. It's part of the divine's plan, too, that one of David's descendants, Jesus, who is the son of David, should be king forever. In the second reading, St. Paul tells the Colossians who Jesus is. He reminds them. He is the king, and he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of creation, head of the church. And he also tells us what Jesus does. He reconciles us. He brings back that which was broken, brings back people into the right relationship with them, with each other and with God. And the way Jesus does that, of course, is by his death and resurrection. He shows us by his own life how we are to live as children of God. As he is as the firstborn of the Father, we are to be children of God as well. And we are called to bear witness to what Jesus has done by ourselves being ministers of Jesus' kingdom. Finally, in the gospel, we see the way Jesus' kingship is made manifest. It's completely illogical, unreasonable, but Jesus' kingship is made manifest by his dying on the cross. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. And Jesus' ministry is one of mercy. As he told Peter when he was arrested in the Garden of Olives, he told Peter that he could bring down legions of angels. And even from the cross, he could have called down legions of angels to destroy the city. But instead, he acts with mercy. And he acts with mercy in a particular way to the good thief. He says, "This day you will be with me in paradise." God is merciful. Jesus' ministry is that of mercy, and his kingship is a ministry of mercy. We are to live that way ourselves. We are to be merciful. We are to live as subjects of the kingdom, to live in mercy and charity and genuine care for those around us, even those who may not be worthy of our care in our own estimation. We are to love even those who don't seem very lovable. We are to forgive as Jesus forgives, even when forgiveness has not been asked for. And we are to pray and ask God to give us the grace of seeking forgiveness for those we have harmed. We are called to live as children of the Father, as brothers and sisters to Christ Jesus, as a royal priesthood. We are to bear witness to the love that God has for each one of us. We are to be mindful of the love that God has for us and to understand that this world is not all there is. If we want to be part of the world that is coming, we have to live in this world looking for that world. We have to ask the Lord for the grace of his love so we might truly love our brothers and sisters, that we may love the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we may bear witness what is true and good, that in this life we may bear witness to that grace, and when the Lord calls us, that we may witness that grace in the world that will never end.